Everyone, welcome to Calvary Chapel, Chapel Hill. If you need a Bible this morning, raise your hand and our usher will get one to you. We've got one over there. Okay, we got one over here. Good. And if you don't have a Bible, you can keep it. Good to see everyone. Very excited about the next Calvary Chapel of Chapel Hill Ministry Choir performance. It's the piece is really, really cool. They're all great, but this one's really, they're all great, so I can't even say this one's really great, but excited about that. And I encourage the choir to support Maestro and remind him to be working on his next rap performance also. So we have that. Don't think we're forgetting that one, buddy. So good. So it is a blessing to come together, saints, and to gather in the house of the Lord. Amen. We get to come, we get to worship, we get to study, we get to pray, we get to fellowship with one another. And I just want to make sure we never take that for granted. Really cherish that. You know, as you're driving and coming to church, how many of you sometimes in the morning, it can be alarm clock doesn't go exactly, traffic, you're running behind, the eggs burnt, whatever took place before you got here. Remind yourself, this is a get to. I get to come to the house of the Lord. I get to worship with my brothers and sisters. I get to dig into the word of God. I get to have fellowship. I get to have prayer. We get to do life together. Amen. And as we remind ourselves of that, take the distractions and chuck them. Put them to the side. You don't need them right now. What you're doing after this doesn't matter. What worries you have, all the different things, put it aside. And this is a time where we just get to focus on our King and see what he would have for us. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you so much that we get to gather in your house, Lord. Father, I pray that you help us to never take that gift for granted, Lord. The gift to freely worship you, Father. And Lord, when we ponder that, we always do pray for our brothers and sisters around the world, Lord, who are persecuted for trying to do the very thing we're doing. So Lord, help us to not take it for granted. Help us to not take the word of God for granted. And Lord, as we do gather in your house, Heavenly Father, we do lift up Israel to you. We pray for the peace in Jerusalem, Lord Jesus. We pray and praise for the four most recent hostages released, Lord. And we continue to pray for the rest to be released. We continue to pray, Lord Jesus, for the healing from the journey that comes with all that they have seen and undergone, Lord Jesus. As their testimonies are starting to be shared, Lord, it is heartbreaking, the pure evil that they endured. Father, we pray for those who passed. Just be with the family members, Lord, and Father God. We pray, Lord Jesus, that when they would read Psalm 22, when they would see Isaiah 53, the suffering servant, they would see Yeshua. They would see Mashiach and know he is King of Kings. We pray for salvation, Lord, and we pray for salvation in Gaza, Lord. We pray for the names added to the book of life. And Lord, we pray for our country. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for this grace and mercy you've bestowed upon our nation with this recent election, Lord. We thank you for how the inauguration went, Lord, and we continue to pray for the safety of this new administration, Lord Jesus, and we pray for a founding on the word of God, Lord. And most importantly, Lord, we pray that the bride of Christ would be bold. The bride of Christ would be bold. That we would not hide the word of God. Lord Jesus, as a song a sister shared yesterday, unashamed, Lord, that we would just proclaim your word boldly. Be with us now, Lord, as we come into your word. Spirit, teach us, lead us, and guide us. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray all this. Lord, lead me. Amen. So we've got a dual recap this week because last week we had our ministry partner here, Pregnancy Support Services. Praise the Lord. It wasn't one of those things where everybody sees that and says, I'm going to skip. It's not important. It is important. We got to stand for life, brothers and sisters. That is such an important thing. And I was praising also Lakeisha, who was here, shared a little thing at the start because for prayer, it was a new thing we tried, and the Lord laid on my heart, hey, let's actually pray after for PSS. And she had made 10 copies of the prayer sheet. And she's like, I just made 10 because no one comes to prayer at churches. We had about 40, 50 people there for prayer. And she's just like, whoa, okay, you guys can share or figure it out. And it was just a testimony of what the Lord's doing in this body. And I share that to remind us to be encouraged. His house is to be a house of prayer. So continue to pray for PSS, brothers and sisters. Remember the kind of charge from the devotional, pep. Pray, engage, pray. And are you doing that? We've got some folks that are going to be plugging in with PSS. Commit them to your prayers. And I remind us to pray for those within the body of Christ who have had abortions. Pray that they remember they are forgiven. That when the enemy tries to come with shame and accuse, they would know, no, I am forgiven. I am new in Christ. He has forgiven me. And pray, too, for those who have been trying and want to have a kid and it's not happening. Because, you know, when we talk about life, we can sometimes get on our bandwagon of, no, but we forget to take the full picture of what different things brought up mean for different people in the body. So ask the Spirit, give me wisdom, give me discernment, who to pray for, who to pray for. So we finished, prior to PSS coming, we finished the Gospel of John. Praise the Lord. We did it. And in that, I just want to check in on the end of the Gospel of John and how you have been doing reading through John 21 in your own time. And I just want to remind us of a few verses, John chapter 21, verses 20 to 22. John 21, verses 20 to 22, just to remind us of part of what the charge was there. Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also had leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, but Lord, what about this man? Jesus said to him, if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. Follow me. You follow me. As we closed that gospel, one of the things that I encourage us to really be thinking, who do you follow? And before this, we saw the threefold reminder. Do you love me more than these? Who do you love? Who do you serve? Where are your eyes? Because saints, to do this walk for Jesus, we've really got to fix our eyes on the King. It's not the comparison game. It's not the so-and-so does it this way, so-and-so does it that. It's the you follow me. So who are you following? And I dare say that's not something now that we've finished John that you're like, okay, I don't have to think about that anymore. No, Luke 9:23, deny yourself daily, which means you've got to remember you follow him daily. Deny yourself daily. And so now we're going to be moving on to Acts. And the title of today's message is Why Acts? Why Acts? As we delve into a new book, it's important that, you know, before we jump in and start going through everything, we're going to set a little bit of context. We're going to get a little bit of understanding of why are we where we are right now? Why is that the book that we're going to next? And I want us as a body of believers to be prayerfully asking the Lord, what is it that you want me to glean from this, Lord, as we embark on this next book? Because I'll share, when I began as the senior pastor of the church in July 21 and we started John, I kind of had in my brain, okay, we're going to do John, then we'll do 1, 2, 3 John, then we'll do Revelation. We're going to do this big thing on all the books of John. And it's going to be so cool. But I have to obey the Lord. So my wanting to move to 1, 2, 3 John, and even as we were getting in the fall, I was like, okay, I think that's where we're going to head next. But then when I started to commit it to prayer, the Lord started to give me those nudgings that I'm learning where he's like, no, that's actually not where we're going next. And when we think about the idea of his word, his spirit, his way, John really gives us a good anchor on the word and whatnot. But I think for this body of believers, it's time to do a little bit of a dive on his spirit and his way. Obedience to God the Father as an under-shepherd is vital to grow his people. So when we ask ourselves, why Acts, I go through a few verses and I want to give you the context of why we're going there next. So turn with me to Revelation chapter 3, if you will. And I want to remind everybody of a verse that I continually go back to and was the first passage I preached on that first Sunday in July of 2023, and is a passage I go back to and was a passage that was quite important to Pastor David and Michelle in their planting the church. Revelation 3:8. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. And as I've been praying that passage over the last few months, the big thing that I keep going back to is have kept my word. Have kept my word. Because when we look at what's going on culturally, when we zoom beyond the walls of this church, faith to the word of God is lacking greatly. Faith to the things of God is lacking greatly. And in this same context, there's the war going on in Israel and everything we've seen since October 7th that reminds us the clock and the truth of God is ticking and it's moving forward. And when we see, I don't know about anyone else, but watching the inauguration, our family, Christina and I, were just reminding ourselves, whoa, this nation has Christian values. But somehow it changed to this thing where God, Bible, don't bring that up. Danger, danger. You're a nationalist. You're a cuckoo. Yet we've been given a moment of grace and mercy in our country. And then when we saw a prayer the next day after, we see someone playing church, a woman playing church. And in her playing church, I was reminded, things are amiss. Things are amiss. So why Acts? Because to be his church, we need to be anchored in his way of things being done. And we need to remember something. We need to be empowered through his spirit. We need to be empowered through his spirit. Because if we think of the last few chapters of John, there was a little bit of a theme that kept coming back. Boldness. Share the gospel. Anchor in the word. Share the gospel. Be bold about it. And what's been interesting is I've had more than a handful of you from that say, how do I do that? And that's part of the reason why we're going to be delving into Acts, because to talk about boldness, we need to be in his boldness, because it's not our own. It's the empowerment through the Spirit. Now, as we start this new book, and pardon my chicken scratch on this, but can you put up the handful for him picture? And I want us to think of these five things before we dig into this new book. And it's an opportunity as we're starting a new book for me to just toss at you some ideas to take in your own study when you're starting a new book in the Bible. And the handful that I like to call this the handful for him. Remove me, Lord. Humble me, Lord. Teach me, Lord. Convict me, Lord. All for your glory, Lord. Because oftentimes, and in our culture right now, and you can leave this up for a little, Betsy, but in our culture right now, we live in this state where when we take the word of God, we kind of take it as our own, like, personal genie to a degree. We take it and it's like, okay, what are you going to tell me? Because it's about me. What am I going to get for me today? But I challenge you and encourage you, when you start at first, remove me, Lord. Remove me. Get rid of the idea that you might think, because this happens too. It may be a book you've read 1,000 times. Oh, we're doing Acts. I know that one already. I'll phone this one in. Don't do that. Remove you. Don't go there like that. And don't look for the where is it, what is it about me. Remove me, Lord. And then the second piece, humble me, Lord. Because that's then when you come to the word of God like a little child saying, Abba, Father, teach me. Teach me. Come to the word of God with childlike humility. Teach me. And that's where you go next Teach me, Lord. Because each time we open the word, it's a double-edged sword, and he wants to impart who he is, his character, his nature, his faithfulness. So we must ask, teach me. And then we have to say, convict me. That's an ugly word in our culture today. We don't want to talk that word. But we need to embrace conviction. We don't just read this so that we can feel good. Sometimes we read it and the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, wrecks us. And when that happens, we say, thank you, Jesus. Refine me, Lord. Embrace the conviction. We don't go to the word for what we want. We go for what he wants. And that brings to the fifth, all for your glory, Lord. All for your glory, Lord. So remove me, humble me, teach me, convict me, all for your glory. And I encourage you, this is something of my own personal study. Anytime I'm going into the Word of God, I pray through those five areas before I start digging in so that I make sure Vince B. Vincent is out of the way, folks. And we can just then seek that pure communion with him. It's that heart of Psalm 27:4 where we see the one thing I wanted to be in the house of the Lord forever. That one desire to be in his presence. So we start Acts. The author of Acts, God through Luke. Luke is our author of Acts. And we know this when you look at the way that the start, the wording, and going through. And we learn also Luke was a physician. We know that from the book of Colossians. We know that he was a Gentile. We know that he's the only New Testament Gentile author giving us two books, Luke and Acts. And as a physician, we see in his writings, he logs a lot of details. Those details are recorded, and he's an eyewitness. As we go through Acts, we're going to see something interesting. You'll see, as he joins Paul at Troas, we're going to see in chapter 16, the language is going to start to change from they to we, as he now then gets on the ground with Paul, co-laboring with him. The time frame that this book is written, we're going to have between AD 60 to 69. We know it would be in between there. It's not going to be AD 70 because we don't see any mention of the destruction of Jerusalem, the burning of Rome. None of those things are mentioned there. So we know that it's taking place between 60 to 69 AD. And we also can speculate as we look at it that perhaps it may have been written in that final imprisonment of Paul in Rome. And then he's now giving the records to Theophilus, who we'll see in the first verse of this book. So what's the purpose of Acts? Because as we go through different books of the Bible, if you remember, we had a focus verse for John, the Gospel of John. What was it? John 20 verse, John 20 verse 31, right? That all would come to belief. Right, so our focus verse for this, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. To the end of the earth. You shall receive power. Through who? The Holy Spirit. Acts is the fulfillment of Matthew 16, 18. When we think of Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, give you a moment to turn there, we see Acts fulfilling this verse. When Jesus says to Peter, "And I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." As we go through Acts, I encourage you to remind yourself and remember when Jesus says this, because as we go through this book, boy, oh boy, do we see that reality come to fruition. And there's a very important thing that we have to be reminded when we see it. He says, "I will build my church. I, because it's his church. Will, because it's his purpose. Build, because it's his work. My, because it's his ownership of it. Church, his bride. It's an important thing to remind ourselves as we look at the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in this. It's God's people, and it's his Spirit doing the work for his purposes, because it's his bride. And that's why, again, for this particular book, I wanted to introduce the little handful for him, because we've got to, as students of the Word of God, rid ourselves out of the way, because we're really looking, this is all about him and his glory. Now, in the context of the author, Luke, turn with me to the end of Luke, Luke chapter 24. We see Acts as the continuation of this. So there's scholars that will point to one point, Luke and Acts kind of being together as one book with two different volumes, you could think of it as. And if we look at Luke chapter 24, Luke chapter 24, verse 45, Luke 24, 45, and he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. There is a purpose. And the repentance and remissions of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. His name, not any other name, not any other power that it's done by, his power. And then he tells them, and you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send you the promise of the city of Jerusalem behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. So we see at the end, and we get the understanding of why Acts, we're going to see how it starts, why it starts the way it does, that they're all waiting in Jerusalem because the Lord gave the direction at the ascension, tarry in Jerusalem. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. What a portrait. Now it came to pass while he blessed them that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. Notice they're told to tarry, and notice they tarry. And it's an interesting thing when we think of tarry. They're waiting on the empowerment of the Spirit to come. And they wait with joy, praising and blessing God. Brothers and sisters, what are we waiting for? The rapture. How are you tarrying? How are you tarrying? Are you praising and blessing God? Are you focused on worship? Are you focused on his glory? Now, Acts is important because imagine if there was no book of Acts. We'd finish the Gospels, and then we'd start Romans, and it would be kind of interesting. But who's this dude, Paul? Where'd he come from? What's going on? I'm confused. But the Lord gives us all the details. We don't have to have that confusion because the Gospels give us what Jesus ministered through his physical body. And Acts is going to give us what Jesus ministers through his spiritual body. Through his spiritual body. And that's why as we go through Acts, we have to remember, we're the body of Christ. So as that, a question we need to be asking ourselves is, what does that mean? What does that mean to be the body of Christ? The pointings to the traditional title of this being the Acts of the Apostles, and many, and I even say, will point that you could call this the Acts of the Apostles through the Holy Spirit. The Acts through the Holy Spirit of the Apostles, whatever order you want to put it in. But the focus, that it's that verse that we see, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Everything that is done in building his church is done through the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit. And that power enables them to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. And as we go through the book of Acts, guess what? We're going to see that. The first seven chapters, we're going to be in Jerusalem. Then we're going to move to Judea and Samaria in chapters 8 through 12. And then the rest of the book is going to go to the known world at that time. It's a beautiful thing that we get to see. Acts is the Holy Spirit establishing the church, and it's through the power of his Spirit. And we've talked a lot of late as a body of believers about the Holy Spirit. Seek a filling afresh of the Holy Spirit. Seek communion with the Holy Spirit. We're about to hit a book. We can't avoid the Holy Spirit anymore. Can't avoid him. And I think it's an intentional timing for this body to be delving into that. It's an intentional timing. Turn with me to the book of Zechariah. This is a focus verse for me as your pastor for this church. In the transition process with Pastor David and my prayer time, asking the Lord for a verse to hold on to for this journey. And this is the one the Lord laid on my heart. And it's one that I want us to think about as we think about the church being built through the power of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit isn't some new thing that came up in Acts. Beginning of creation, the Spirit hovered above the waters. Spirit's present at creation. Spirit, we see, is mentioned emotional, intellect, spirit. He is a person of the Trinity. And in the context of Zechariah chapter 4, Zechariah is awakened from his sleep while they're in the process of rebuilding the temple. And Zerubbabel, who's the leader at that time and working to finish it, is having a moment where there needs to be some encouragement to him. The flame needs to be kindled to keep him moving onward. And when we look at verse 6, so he answered and said to me, because again, we'll start, let's read verse 1. Now the angel who talked with me came back and wakened me as a man who is wakened out of his sleep. And he said to me, what do you see? So I said, I'm looking, and there is a lampstand of solid gold with a bowl on top of it. And on the stand, seven lamps and seven pipes to the seven lamps. Two olive trees are by it, one at the right of the bowl and the other at the left. So I answered and spoke to the angel who talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? So we have this lamp that needs to be kindled and oil. And then we see that the angel who talked with me answered and said to me, do you not know what these are? And I said, no, my Lord. Now our focus verse for this. So he answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by my might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Of hosts. And this is an important thing to encourage Zerubbabel at this moment. And boy, is it a message to all who have the full word of God. Because when we see not by might, that's talking of the collective strength. The collective strength of everyone that's there, the collective strength of all y'all ain't gonna do it. And that's something we have to understand as we think about his church. The collective strength isn't gonna do it, nor by power. The individual strength ain't going to do it either. The collective can't. The individual strength can't. But by my Spirit. Because for the works of God to be done, guess what? It needs to be done through his resources. Through his supply. Through his strength. Spirit there being Ruach. What we see at creation. What we see when we go to the Red Sea. What we see when the bones in Ezekiel, the dead bones, are brought to life. The breath that is breathed through his Spirit. In this, God wants Zerubbabel to understand the supply and the reliance that is necessary on the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is then given that portrait to be like oil. For oil can heal, for oil can make things smooth and lubricate, for oil can light, oil can bring warmth. Rely on the Spirit of God. And who says that? The Lord of hosts. 248 times you'll see that in the Old Testament, Lord of hosts. And when we see Lord of hosts, it's an important thing. We can't just see, Lord of hosts, that's a phrase. No, dig deep. 248 times, it's important. Lord, the covenant name present, Yahweh. Hosts pointing to armies in Hebrew. So when we see this title, Lord of Hosts, we're reminded the one who's saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of Hosts, is the one who is God of all power, who is sovereign, who has all control, who is the leader of the armies of Israel, who has led, and we are now grafted in under his leadership in the spiritual battle that we fight day in and day out. And we must remember we serve the Lord of Hosts. We must remember he has all power. He intervenes. He is the one to bring peace. He is the one to hear our prayers. There's no God like him. For he is the Lord of Hosts. And when we see that, brothers and sisters, as we embark on this book of Acts, I want to remind you, he makes it clear, it's not by might nor by power, but by his spirit. And he's the Lord of Hosts. So guess what those two things mean? We got to obey. We got to obey. But how we struggle with that, and we're going to see in Acts how that happens. And when we look at the power of his spirit, and again, I like us to take things in the context of the whole word of God. That's why we're not just, boom, let's start Acts. No, let's talk about why we're going there. Because I want you to understand what the Lord has laid on my heart for this body of believers. So as we're going through Acts, we're in one accord. Amen? That's important. That's important that we're all on the same page. Now then, when we think about this, the power of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, yet too many churches abuse the Holy Spirit. Or Holy Spirit's just out the window because they've got their business plan. They've got their wants. They've got their strategic planning. It reminds me, remember, I used to be a school leader. I had to do master plans all the time. This is where we're going to be, school in 2030. We're going to do this. I need to raise $6 million. Who's with me? That's not the bride of Christ. Church isn't a business. Too many seminaries teach people to make church a business. You need this, you need that, you need this, you need that. You need Jesus, you need his spirit. God guides, God provides. Get out his way. Period. Get out of his way. And we've made it too much me-centric. I don't like this about it. I don't like the color of the paint. I don't like that. I don't like the way that song's too slow. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. Can you put the meme up? Did you get the meme? Did she get it? Woohoo. Put it up. Boom. Wow, that was cool. It worked. If Paul could see the church today, some of y'all would be getting the letter. And that's something I want us to think about as we go through the book of Acts. Because at the end of the day, as we go through Acts at Calvary Chapel, Chapel Hill, my heart is that this brings this body together, which means it's not about you. It's not about me. Who's it about? Jesus. Who's it about? There we go. Good. We got to be on the same page there. Because it's about the empowerment through the Holy Spirit. And boy, when we look and when we think of the church today, it's a funny little thing there, but it's the reality. The church is a mess, brothers and sisters. It's a mess. Again, when I saw, every time I hear on the news and this bishop spoke, I'm like, stop calling her a bishop. She's not a bishop. She's a woman playing church. Period. And if that bothers you, read the word of God. I'm not backing down on that. That's harsh. That hurts my feelings. No, it's the word of God. And we have to be firm on those things. We can't compromise. We can't be willy-nilly. Now, as we go through Acts, we're going to see this cover about 30 years of time from the ascension to Jews to Gentiles coming into the church. And as we go through Acts, guess what we're going to be covering? A lot of seeds of doctrine are going to be hit. We're going to talk about the Spirit of God. We're going to talk about his kingdom. We're going to talk about elders and church leadership. We're going to talk about salvation. We're going to talk about church order. But when it's all done, I want to remind us of something as we go through Acts. It's revealed as practice over statements. And that's an important thing for us to get. I'll say it again. It's revealed as practice over statements. I personally am one as a pastor. Calvary Chapel, if you know the way Calvary Chapel works, not many Calvary Chapel pastors are seminarians. The Lord lays the calling, confirms, teaches, and I'll tell you, it's wild to see how the Spirit teaches, because I've learned so much than I could have ever imagined in this time thus far. But I don't get lost in the labels. Culture likes these labels. I share the story sometime when I came out of my season of backsliding. I go to a church and somebody comes up to me, "Are you Arminian?" And I'm like, "I'm American. Are you Arminian?" And I'm like, I'm Haitian. Haitian American. "Are you Arminian?" And I didn't know what the guy was talking about. And then I learn it's like, "Are you an Arminian? Are you a dispensationalist?" All this. I'm like, take all those titles that man made up and just read the Word of God. Why do we get lost in all that? Now, I'm then, lest someone says, "Are you knocking intellect?" I ain't knocking no intellect. I'm just saying, don't get stuck on that and have that be a hindrance. Let the Holy Spirit lead. Let the Holy Spirit teach. Acts is going to remind us about the patterns of church life. There's some questions we're going to have to answer. One of those questions we're going to answer is, why do I need church? Why do I need church? We're going to answer that because we're going to see we are called by the Lord God Almighty to be in community, not isolation. So if you're watching online, get in person. We're called to be in community. We're called to learn and worship together. We're called to learn and worship together. I will never forget day one coming to visit this church. And you know, Kim Booth Greeter, we didn't even get in before she was hugging us. But the love within this body, it's palpable, y'all. It's palpable, and we need that. We're also going to have to answer a question. How do we avoid cliques in church? Oh, you just said we're loving. We are, but we got to avoid cliques. And we're going to have to, this book, do some looking at ourselves, Calvary Chapel, Chapel Hill, because we're not perfect. Me, you, none of us. How do we avoid cliques? Because we associate with people we like at the end of the day. That's what we do. You get your besties. I want to chill with my besties. But how do we break that up? Because when we are just associating with the people we like, guess what? There's a lack of unity in the body of Christ. And then prejudice gets built. We're going to see what happens when the Grecians are struggling with how the Jews are handling things. And we're going to see when we get in the middle of the book, some things take place that's going to help us understand how do we avoid cliques. We're going to wrestle with the idea of how do we help new believers grow to be mature believers. And we'll see that there is the method of trying. Here's a list of things you need to do and better not mess up. Didn't work. But yielding to the Spirit and having patience for the growth and maturity of the believer and child of God, oh, that works. We can't approach life with Jesus the way we approach our smartphones. We're too Insta-driven. Everything has to be boom, boom, boom. No, 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 no. Acts is going to have us evaluate man's lists and Christian culture. We're going to have to evaluate all those things. And in that, I think every one of us, and as I've been reading this in preparation, I'm asking, can I surrender and let his Spirit lead? That's a question we're all going to have to continually ask ourselves as we go through this book. Can I surrender and let his Spirit lead? Notice I didn't say, can I surrender and let my emotion justified by a verse taken out of context lead? I said, can I surrender and let his Spirit lead? Acts is going to have us explore meaningful fellowship where we share life and burdens. Acts is going to also point out something, a little secret. As children of God, we're going to disagree with each other sometimes. Not a secret. We know this. We're going to disagree with each other sometimes. But through Acts, we're going to be reminded of how to settle those disagreements through his Spirit, which gives wisdom and grace. Wisdom and grace. We talk grace, but do you live grace? Do you live grace. As I say that, is there somebody within the body that you can think of something like, oh, I'm bitter about that still? Let it go. And ask the Lord, give me grace and wisdom on how to handle this. Because God is a God of unity. The one who wants division is the enemy. So that's an important thing we're going to look to. As we go through the book of Acts, guess what we're going to see? A lot of strong personalities. Hoo-wee. There's a lot of strong personalities. But we're going to see they're all willing to listen and willing to submit. So how's your willingness to listen and how's your willingness to submit? Because at the end of the day, and I can say now as an under-shepherd, people do really great with those concepts until accountability is coming. Then suddenly it becomes something very different. Don't you tell me what to do. How do you handle those things? How do you listen? How do you submit? What we're going to have to ask ourselves is, how do we actually get out of the way in our over-entertainment-saturated, me-centric, justifying what I want culture? That's what Acts is going to force us to face. How do we do that? Power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. We're going to have to wrestle with our relationship with the Holy Spirit. As we get ready to delve into this book, questions I ask you, do you ever fast? Do you pray? Do you have faith in and through His Spirit? Where are you with those spiritual disciplines? When you hear those, it's kind of, whoa, where are you with those? And when you think about the Holy Spirit, for you, is it a nice, well-written theology statement, or is it a relationship? Where are you with that? Because as we see what goes on through Acts, there's words I want you to look for: filled with the Spirit, received the Spirit, the Spirit was upon him, the Spirit guided, the Spirit's power, being Spirit-led. We're going to have two key figures we see in this book, Peter and Paul. And as we go through their journeys, first Peter, then Paul, a great gift comes up. The reminder that God uses the unexpected and the ordinary to do extraordinary things. Through Acts, I'm going to challenge you to not set limits on what the Lord can do in and through you for his glory. Don't set limits. And that's one, as I get to know this body more and more, I'm like, oh no, y'all, don't set limits of what he can do in and through you for his glory. Don't set limits on that. In Acts, we're going to have 3 sermons by Peter, 1 sermon by Stephen, 6 by Paul, and they all will give us deep reminders of what preaching is supposed to be about. Spirit-filled, Scripture, not psychology, not self-help, not a TED talk. It's to preach Jesus. Preach and teach Jesus. Now, when we go through Acts, the question to also keep on the forefront of your mind is, when does the book of Acts end? When our King returns in his glory. Love that when you have a pastor in the house who just started laughing at that one. When he returns in his glory. So why Acts? Because Calvary Chapel, Chapel Hill, we need to humbly allow God to search every crevice of our hearts. And we need to allow God to search every crevice of this church. So that as we read this, we can say, Lord, what would you have me do? Me as your under-shepherd, I'm asking, Lord, what would you have us do? Because I do believe the bride of Christ has to stop seeking worldly unity and conformity. We unify with Christ alone. We conform to the Word of God alone. And I believe as we are, as a body, moving into the next chapter for this church, with me as your pastor, leading his people, we need to allow him to search us and allow us to embrace the conviction to be refined individually and corporately so that he can do what he wants to do through this body. so that we can be the salt and light in Chapel Hill for his glory in the triangle and elsewhere. Remove me, humble me, teach me, convict me, all for your glory. Don't open his word and don't go through this looking for your agenda. Don't look for your agenda. As you're going through this, don't do the thing. And I'll be real. I have done that before where you sit and you're listening to a message and it's like, oh, let me go down my own rabbit hole right now and I'm going to go to what I want to focus on. You're missing what the Lord has for that moment in time. I'm asking us as a body to come to this book in one accord. Because I do believe as we're moving as a body, the Lord's he's moving us towards something. I don't fully know what. I know it's for his glory. I know it's for us to be salt and light in this area. I know it's for this house to be a house of prayer. I know it's that our doors to be ready and open for whoever the Lord would bring, that they can meet Jesus. But we've got to go back to the roots of how and where things began. And you put the verse image art for Zechariah 4, that reminder for us again. Not by might, nor by my power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. But by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Now, we're not going to get through clearly the first three verses today, but I want to look at the first verse. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. The former account being the Gospel of Luke. Theophilus, there are many who will point to believe that this is a wealthy Roman official. When we look at how he's described in Luke, we see him described as the most excellent. Perhaps he's the one who helped to purchase Luke's freedom. And he's giving him now the account of things that have taken place, of all that Jesus began to do and teach. So the first one was about what Jesus did through the physical body. Now we're going to go through what he did with the spiritual body. And Theophilus is an interesting name because it means lover of God or dear to God, friend of God. It's applicable to most of us in this room. This book written to those who love God. And if I say that and you're like, well, I don't know if I love him. Maybe you haven't surrendered your life to him yet and come to the point of surrendering all to be added to the book of life. Let's talk about that. But then if you are here, I ask you, are you a lover of God? Are you dear to God? Are you a friend of God? Where it truly is all about him. Because that's the heart that we got to get to start this book. Really, we need that heart everywhere in the Word of God. But as we go through this, that's the heart I encourage us all to have. And to be open to what the Lord would teach us independently and corporately. Amen. So charge for this week, twofold. One, read the book of Acts. Read the whole book this week. Give it a whole read, okay? Read through it, and as you read through it, don't read it with an agenda. Don't read it looking for what you want. Read it. Go inductive style with it. Get some observations jotted down. Look for some interpretation, then look for application. Don't start at application. That's where we usually start. It's not a magic lamp. And two, pray through the handful for him. Pray through those areas. Pray through each of those. Pray through, remove me, humble me, teach me, convict me, all for your glory. Pray through that. That you let yourself build the discipline of emptying yourself before going to the Word of God. And next week we will dig in starting at verse 2. And journey through the book of Acts. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you for who you are, Lord God. Father God, we just thank you for your word, Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you for the gifts, the treasures, the wisdom, the insights that you bestow upon us through the word of God, Lord Jesus. Father, I pray that you would enable us to just so get out of the way, Lord, myself included, Lord, to just be open to what you want to teach us. Lord, I pray that this body of believers seeks that filling of your spirit, Lord Jesus, to truly be empowered by you. Lord, that we would stop trying to do it by might and power, but by your spirit. For you are the Lord of hosts. You are sovereign over all. You hold all the power, and you get all the glory. So, Lord, help us to empty ourselves for you, Lord. Help us to empty ourselves for you, Lord Jesus. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh. With your spirit, that we allow you to melt us, mold us, fill us, and use us. Lord, I pray that every person here takes whatever you've laid on their hearts to pray or to you. I pray the same at Koinonia Calvary Chapel, where Pastor David's preaching this morning, Lord, that every seed that you are planted, Lord, every moment of conviction would be taken to you to bear forth the fruit that is needed for your glory. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray all these things. Amen. Have a beautiful